the world.
You think this is exaggeration? This I know to be true.
Hello or not, whatever you like, and welcome to episode 3 of season 3 of Theatre of the World, where man bites God. I'm James.
I am Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And this episode is called Secrets.
So,
when I say don't, I mean we want people to know.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to publicise it.
We should just end it now.
Yeah.
The whole podcast should just be a beep sound.
Yeah. We should publish it on the dark web.
Secrets, go. Oh, we should start the way we start.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Probably, I would say, the most popular segment. Oh, would you say that?
It's very popular with me.
If we had a t-shirt, would it be on the t-shirt?
Yeah, sure.
So here is our only t-shirt worthy segment on Theatre of the World. Fact bombs.
Fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bombs.
Or bomb.
Fact bombs. One thing that could be considered secrets is conspiracy theories.
Ooh.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some of my favorite conspiracy theories are JFK was shot by a guy called Noel.
Ah.
I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. It's good.
There was an alien autopsy carried out at Studio 52. Elvis did not walk on the moon. Did you know that the word secrete means to conceal, hide, shroud, or cover up, but it can also mean to discharge, ooze, emit, or leak? Fact bombs.
Fact bombs.
Brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Thank you.
It's like the word raise. You know the word raise, R-A-I-S-E, means to put something up. Mm. And the word raise, R-A-Z-E, means to tear something down.
Yeah.
How confusing is that for your oral listener to words?
English is shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What a bunch of crap.
Yep.
What is Elvis on the... I still don't get it.
It's a conspiracy theory. He never walked on the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You've just linked up to... it's good.
Or have I?
He may know something. My theory is that Elvis... If Elvis is still alive, then he is really old and...
Do you reckon he got more fat or less fat?
More fat, I think.
Can I say that your theory, at least the first part of it, can apply to everyone? Everyone. You know, if Moses were alive, he would be so old. Oh, I'd be old if he were alive.
Methuselah died on the toilet.
Don't be ridiculous. Moses isn't alive. That's ridiculous. It's crazy.
You're ridiculous.
So, secrets, hey? Secrets is a funny topic because a secret is something by the very nature. I had a secret meeting today.
Well, you're telling a podcast.
I had a secret meeting. It's not very interesting if you don't tell what the secret is.
So, what's the secret?
But if I say I had a meeting with my accountant.
Your accountant.
That's how secret it was. It's boring, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But why is it secret?
Well, I'm not going to tell you the real secret.
Are you laundering money?
Yeah, no. I'm not, but...
That's something that a money launderer would say.
So, it's a tricky thing, you know. Secrets are only interesting once you know them.
What?
You know.
No, I don't. Yeah. They're not secrets. In fact, that's just the opposite.
But that's what I'm saying.
Then a secret, yeah.
So what you're saying is the opposite to what you said.
No, I just... Look, I don't want to have this argument...
Should we just end the podcast? Can we have another argument? Should we just finish it here?
Breaking up live.
Yep.
When I think of secrets, I always think, for me, when I was young and when I was in my teens, secrets were cool.
Mm.
Like if you had secrets, you were cool. You were interesting. And if you had layers of deception or kind of strangeness or, you know, kind of surreptitiousness, then you were – it was like you were a cool person.
Yeah.
And what blew that out of the water for me was the series Twin Peaks.
Right.
Which was a fantastic show. Still, you know, it holds up. I watched it again the other day and it still holds up. That show is amazing. All the great shows that you watch on HBO, like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and all that, that epic television that everyone loves at the moment – all goes back to Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks was like the first.
Absolutely.
Here's a film director who's going to make television. And now everyone fucking does it. But it was amazing. And there is a bit in that show where Kyle MacLachlan, who was amazing, like he was this fantastic, sexy, good-looking, smart, fun hero that you watched every week and secretly wanted to be. And he, unlike all other heroes that I looked up to in the past, this was a guy who was open. He was just an open guy. And there's a scene in Twin Peaks which had a great effect on me where he says to Audrey, who's a very beautiful Sherilyn Fenn, 25 years old, drop dead, playing a 17-year-old schoolgirl. And he says to her, secrets are a terrible thing. Secrets are what got Laura Palmer killed. And she says to him, do you have any secrets? And he says, no. And he says it in such a cool way that I'm watching it going, oh, I wish I didn't have any secrets. And then it all turned around after that.
So I came up with a bunch of words.
Does it have a theme song?
Seriously.
Hey, everybody. Chris invented Chris's some words.
Seriously.
Chris says words.
Chris has got a bunch of words.
He's speaking them from his mouth. It's words.
Listen, frankly. First of all, website. I've got a website for you.
Oh, great.
Have you got a theme song for a website?
Chris's website.
That's very good. It's a shortened version. Sure.
It's too tiring.
So there are two websites this week, just for
I should see it twice.
Oh, yeah.
Glad so I did the short version.
The first one is one which has been around for a very long time, but it's kind of an interesting and slightly pretentious website called Post Secret. Do you know Post Secret?
I do know Spike? Post
Secret. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so Post Secret is a website that was set up by a guy who basically gets people to send postcards to him that have secrets on them, which have no revealing details. But he essentially takes those postcards and then publishes them on his website. And they're often very artistic. They're sort of images with words taped on top of them or handwritten notes or something. And it's quite interesting. So you should pop there.
Do you reckon they're real, or is there one like I killed a man in Phoenix just to watch him die?
Some of them sound a bit pretentious. As like, there's a picture of a Barbie doll. I think at the moment, one of the postcards is a picture of a Barbie doll, and somebody's gone, while we were at college, I was too busy being faithful to you while you were out fucking other girls or something.
How was that a secret?
Yeah, it was. It's kind of like
I
that,
didn't have sex with other people.
Yeah,
like I told you, I didn't.
One of the sort of salacious ones, if you like, was
you came in my Barbie doll.
A woman who sent a postcard with a bride and groom on it and said, on the taxi home from my wedding, I texted my boyfriend that I loved him. Yep.
Wow. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good absolutely. One.
So it is. There are some interesting ones in there. Cow. And the other one that I think everybody should go to just because it's...
By the way, who takes a taxi home from a wedding? That's low rent.
Yep.
I'm glad she cheated on him.
the other one is The Secret TV. That's that program. Do you know the program?
No.
The Secret?
It's Secret.
Have you ever heard of The Secret?
The book.
It was massive.
The book.
Yeah, and there's a movie. There's a movie.
There's a movie. The one where you actualize
something. Yes. If you want a parking spot, you've got to see it.
There was a movie and it was free. You could go to the website and watch the movie for free, which you can still do.
Not like a feature film that was in cinemas.
No, a feature film.
What?
Tom Hanks is The Secret.
You know that the woman that made it is from Australia. She worked for Channel 9.
Yeah.
And it went worldwide. It was insane. It was self-help. gone nuts.
They put it in the philosophy section in bookshops.
Yeah. I mean, it's a ridiculous concept. And if anybody who's out there doesn't know, it is literally sitting around going, I can see myself driving a Porsche.
Yeah.
And then one day you find yourself driving a Porsche. Is what it is. Yeah, absolutely. And but if you want to watch the movie, which is ridiculously...
How long is the movie?
I think it's reasonably feature-length, sort of 90 minutes.
Is it a
minutes.
Documentary or is it a dramatization?
It is... Yeah, it's kind of a dramatization and a part documentary, part dramatization about this is how you can make your life better by being a
psychopath. By writing it is.
By writing a self-help book that essentially appeals to people's inert laziness.
Yeah.
And greed.
And greed.
So I recommend everybody should go and watch that movie.
Can't be
because
bothered.
Because it is ridiculous.
Can't
it
be is bothered. Ridiculous. Is there a shorter version?
Yeah, you can probably watch the... just watch the first 5 minutes.
I'll just actualize myself watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do.
And they're my websites.
They're good websites.
You can find them by searching on the internet.
You can find them by searching, Chris.
Minutes of research.
Step into our shop, and for Easter, you'll look tip-top. Step into spring and the latest thing. Yes, step into Easter with us.
Okay, let's do a different segment.
Okay.
Okay, this is got its own theme song. This is James's List of Things.
James's List of Things. James's List of Things. James's got some things to list.
He sure fucking Bing. Does. And let me tell you, when I think of secrets, I think of mysteries and mystery novels.
Yes.
So this is a list of 10 entirely fictional mystery novels that one day I am going to write.
Fictional mystery novels.
Fictional, that you can
fictional,
yourself.
Fictional novels. Yeah,
fictionally,
right. Fukushima.
Okay. Number one, mystery novels. The Butler Did It Backwards. Tell me you don't want to read The Butler Did It Backwards. Number two, A Bullet in Your Orifice. Number three, The Legless Sleuth Was Stumped Again. That's the only pun, I promise. Number four, The Killer and the Killed People That Got Killed. Number five, and this is my favorite.
Yeah.
I would see Tom Hanks in the movie version of this. The Blood Wasn't Menstrual. That's good. She Put Murder Gravy on the Kidnap Pie. I don't mind that one.
That's good.
Victimful Crime. Death Takes Your Wallet. The Murderer Who Fucked Everything Up Because of His Murdering. And the final mystery novel that I think this one should probably be a movie, The Dead Animals of Splatter Farm. There you go. Change the list of things. You don't have to look anything up for that. I just read it.
I want to get a bumper sticker that says butlers do it all the time.
Butlers do it for pay.
Gravy.
There you go.
Thinking about secret things, secret handshakes.
Yeah.
Who had a secret handshake?
What?
What?
Did any of you have a secret handshake?
Yeah, I'll do it now.
That we can show people on the podcast.
No.
Okay.
No, why would you give that away?
Crazy.
That's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous that you might do it on the podcast. What about Secret Santa?
What about it?
Did you bring his presents?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I take a little time out here? When Chris and I started working together, Chris made me read a book about comedy, which had rules in it. And he is breaking all of them in this podcast. Literally walls, putting them up.
I just have a list of words, okay? I just have a list of words and I put secret in front of them. How about secret recipe?
How about it?
Secret recipe. KFC. 7 secret herbs and spices. Who would? Well, I don't even know how that was a good advertising idea to say there is 11 secret herbs and spices on this chicken. I mean, why would I eat something that I don't even know what's gone into it?
It's any consolation. I believe that 7 of those are salt.
Yeah. Different. Salt from different seas, though. Yeah, that's weird. Why would you? I don't know why you'd have a secret recipe. Uh-huh. Now, that would be illegal. That would be illegal to have secret ingredients.
Would it?
Well, yeah. How you can't even got to tell someone what you're putting in your chicken. What if you're putting human soy bones in? Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not right.
It tastes better.
It's like when IKEA was putting horses in meatballs.
Was that IKEA?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that IKEA Australia, Chris?
I believe that was IKEA. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny the Australia thing.
Don't know?
Nah.
It's a
probably best to deny then.
Yeah. It was a well-kept secret.
Probably
though.
Best to allege.
That's all right. I'm sure IKEA don't have a lot of money. Yeah. When I think of secrets,
yes.
I think of family secrets.
Ooh, skeletons in the closet.
Exactly. I'd like to share one now. Now, I want to talk about the most hilarious uncle that I have, but I can't use his real name.
No.
So, an uncle, a good uncle name to use.
I was going to say Buck.
No. Buck? No. It's already a fictional uncle. Like a realistic uncle character.
Uncle Henry.
Henry's good. That's all right. Right. I'll go with Henry. So my Uncle Henry is a very strange man. I just want to tell you two things that really sum him up for me. The first one is we were out once and my lips were a bit chapped.
Where were you?
I don't know. I can't remember. We're at a family
function. Ski field.
We're at a family function. And my lips, as is their wont, were a shade chapped.
Mm.
And
quite a workout at this family function.
Mm. Yeah. And and my uncle's lips were also a shade chapped. Now, I pulled out a little lip balm from my pocket and I applied it to my chapped lips. But my uncle, he pulled out a tub of Vaseline from his pocket, a little tub. And apply that to his lips. That's all right. Vaseline is essentially the same thing. No problem with that. And then he said this to me. I didn't ask any questions. He said, "See this tub of Vaseline?" And I said,
"Oh no."
"Yes." And he said, "I found this." Now that's bad.
Yeah.
I said, "How long ago did you find it?" He said, "Just the other day. It was half empty." That's worse. Then I said, "Where did you find it?" This was his actual answer, not a shade of a lie.
Yes.
"He found it in a graveyard."
Was it haunted?
Now, there's a lot of questions that are thrown up by that answer. Firstly, what is a tub of used Vaseline doing in a graveyard?
Oh.
Secondly, what sort of person picks up a jar of used Vaseline in a graveyard? Thirdly, who then applies that to their lips in public?
And fourthly, and who offers it to their nephew?
Oh, Uncle Henry, why?
Oh, dear.
Oh, Uncle Henry.
Oh, Uncle Henry. Here's the second thing about Uncle Henry, and this is why he probably is the family secret. This is absolutely true, this story. He bought a computer.
Yes.
A cheap one, of course. And
found it in a graveyard.
Yeah, probably. covered in lube. And he brought it home. And he was on the net and he was surfing the net. He was having a lovely time. And he said, "Oh, this is great." Like, I saw him at some family thing. And he said, "Oh, I love the net. It's really, I'm not good at it yet, but I'm finding things and I'm getting better at searching."
He should listen to a search term segment.
podcast. He's not ready.
Get some great tips.
He's not quite ready for podcasts yet. But he's looking and playing around, you know, as you do when you're sort of finding out about the internet. He's an older man. "Oh, okay, that's cool." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." And then one day, like about 5-6 days after he got, you know, computer and he's surfing the net, there was something wrong with it. Like, it just didn't work anymore. So he got a guy out to his house to have a look at it for him. And the guy said, "Oh, yeah, I see your problem. You don't have a modem." Now,
what?
Now, once again, this throws up a lot of questions. Not... "Oh, okay, well, he didn't think to have a modem. He just bought a computer. That's fine. No problem with that. What was he doing for the 4 or 5 days where he was having a good time searching the internet with no modem, no way to connect to the internet, no way at all? What was he doing? Here's my theory. Gee, there's a lot of spider solitaire on the internet. Gee, the internet looks mostly like a Windows media player. I don't know, but it's how crazy is that? For 5 days he was on the internet without being connected to it. Like he was in a coma or something. I don't know.
That is.
Isn't he a great uncle?
What a great uncle.
That's all I'm saying. They are just two stories out of a million. But holy shit. There you go. Family secrets. We keep him locked up.
Very nice.
We should.
I dread to admit this, but Chris's earlier segment leads sadly into mine.
Oh,
wow.
I know. I feel
that
dirty.
For a segue.
I don't have enough material to jettison stuff.
Good point.
I have a list of 11 secret herbs and spices.
Hey,
here you go.
Chervil.
Chervil.
Yeah. What? That's a secret herb.
Secret from all of us. I see.
All right.
No.
Disappear mint.
I've got it. I got it now. Chervil, man. I see what you're doing now.
I didn't get Chervil.
I see. No, Chervilance.
Chervil. Vale.
Chervil. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Is that like the powdered stuff that you have in lollies?
I'm not even sure.
I like that.
Miss Chivas.
Not a secret. Being mischievous.
Esso turmeric.
Jesus. Oh, these are awful.
Salt.
Salt.
You have to be into cryptography to get that one.
You know what I hear? I hear Elvis has never went to the moon.
That's only number 5.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good.
Go on.
Coriander stein.
Is that clandestine? Is that what he's trying?
Yeah.
Because that's a long bite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cumin cognito.
Not only has Chris's segment morphed into yours, but you've morphed into Chris.
Anonymous.
Okay, anonymous is funny.
Delusive.
Oh, Jesus.
Tarragon.
Tarragon's a real... it's not secret.
Oh, Christ. Are there more?
No, this is number 11. Believe it or not, hasn't this flown by? Cardamom's the word.
I need a shower.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you need a shit. They are secret herbs and spices. I like salt.
Oh my God, delicious. I was Googling so hard to try and come up with 11. I really wanted 11.
If you listen really hard, you can hear my scrotum sobbing.
Do you want to hear the... I had a 12th one that I got rid of. Do you
Wait. Oh, sorry. Are you telling me that there was one that wasn't good enough to make that list?
Yeah, didn't quite cut the mustard.
Woo. Was it that one?
No. Oh,
go on then.
Cajun treasoning.
I would have opened with that one. Oh, shit.
It's,
oh, jeez. Oh,
it's some crazy business.
Oh.
I wouldn't be using any of those herbs or spices in your cooking.
I feel like I just got fucked by a homeless guy. I just feel... God. Oh. I feel like a dumpster just gave me head.
So, the internet, eh? I was going to pose an argument that...
Yeah, go on.
Social media, as we know it, has affected secrecy in a way that it can never be returned in the way that people just share shit all the time. And I've seen people post things on social media. I've seen them post pictures of wounds. In fact, you've done it and I've done it.
Yeah. So you've seen yourself post pictures.
I've seen myself, but ours were not as disturbing as some of the people that I've seen pictures of wounds. Also,
my most
you know,
recent
there was
one wasn't real.
No.
Just cry for help. look, he's slashed his wrists across. That's his cry for help.
But also, do you remember a case last year where a guy murdered his wife and then posted his admission on Facebook? I'm going to death row because I just killed my wife. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So people post
465 people like this.
That didn't become a meme.
Yeah. It's sort of the death of privacy.
And well, I think not really. I mean, what?
I murdered my wife and I want some damn privacy.
But that's interesting, though. It's funny. Actually, this happened just today.
Yeah.
I heard a guy screaming into his smartphone on a train about privacy.
Yeah.
And you sort of go, well, hang on.
Orwell
got it right and he got it wrong. I mean, Orwell predicted there were going to be screens in every house and that they would be two-way, which is essentially what the internet is.
Yeah.
It's essentially what your iPad or your smartphone is. It's a two-way camera.
Yeah.
What Orwell didn't get was that people would be enlisted to provide their own information under the guise of entertainment.
Yeah, they would do it themselves.
Yeah, because we're so – like the idea of celebrity being a currency is – I mean, I think that's why people post mostly on – I mean, I think – I like social media. I think social media is quite good. It's quite fun. But I think a lot of people I see on social media tend to be aping – a famous person. So they're not famous. They're just people. They go like us. They go to jobs and they do things and they're nice. But they sort of, 20, 30 years ago, this is what a famous person would – you'd see a story about a famous person doing this, whereas now you can just publish your own story about you doing this complete with photos.
Yeah.
It's like you're in People magazine or Who Weekly or whatever.
Yeah, it's like last week when I published that video of me twerking Miley Cyrus style.
Yeah.
It was fucking disturbing.
Great. I didn't get as much.
It was weird
media
though because
attention.
He did it to Mental as Anything's Everybody Wants to Twerk, which is odd because obviously that's the Uncanny X-Men. But they are, you know.
I didn't get a letter from Sinead O'Connor though.
Hardly twerking.
Sad. So I've got a story. It's a fable, in fact. I've got a fable that I'd like to share with everybody.
And a foible.
And
you've had enough wordplay.
Spark.
Back in your box.
Sparky, I think something kind of spy-like would be good. Or just a drone and the sound of...
I'll just use the one from last
The sound
week.
Of water dripping.
Just use this conversation.
So now I present to you, my friends,
God.
The fable of Sam Spyman, the super secret spy. Sam Spyman sat in the dark, tightly bound to a chair in the lair of Dr. Unpleasant. Behind him, he could hear the wheezing and whimpering of his trusty sidekick boy. They were definitely in a tight spot. The evil doctor's henchmen surrounded the heroes, giving them dirty looks while flicking their oily fringes out of their eyes and flexing their muscles through their jet-black skivvies. After what seemed like hours, but was actually only 10 to 15 minutes, Dr. Unpleasant entered the room like a super camp supervillain. "So, Mr. Spyman, we meet again," squealed the evil doctor. Sam squirmed in his seat. "You'll never get away with this," he spat back. "You thought you had a hot lead, but I outsmarted you again," laughed the doctor. "I don't understand. How could you have known we were hiding in the warehouse waiting for you to arrive?" inquired Sam. The doctor laughed in a very annoying fashion. "This," he shouted, and showed Sam a photograph on his mobile tablet device. "Oh my God, sidekick boy," gasped Sam. "Did you Instagram a photo of me hiding in the rafters of the warehouse?" The light was so perfect," whimpered sidekick boy. Sam sighed. "Also," the doctor continued, "at 8:45 p.m, Mr. Spyman, you updated your Facebook status saying, and I quote, 'Hot on the tail of Dr. Unpleasant. Just wait until we surprise him in the warehouse.' Lol." We'd been waiting there for 2 hours. I was bored. No one wanted to play Words with Friends. But how could you have avoided our laser booby trap on the warehouse doors? Cried Sam. The doctor cackled. You followed it up with, it's going to be pretty funny when they trigger that booby trap on the warehouse doors, R-O-F-L. Sam shrunk down, defeated. Something wasn't right. Hang on. My Facebook privacy settings are set to friends only. You couldn't possibly have seen that update, screamed Sam. The doctor laughed annoyingly again. Remember that sexy Colombian blonde called Una Pleasant that sent you a friend request a few weeks ago? Sam slammed his fist hard on the chair. How could he have been so foolish? He was certain she was the one. Looks like your own vanity has defeated you, spy man, cackled Dr. Unpleasant. You'll never get away with this, Unpleasant, screamed Sidekick Boy. I already said that, screamed Sam, annoyed. And now, Sam Spyman and your sidekick boy, I am going to add you to my BuzzFeed list, 12 good guys I have dismembered, cajoled Dr. Unpleasant. Henchman 1, take my phone. We're going to show Sam Spyman's death to the world in a series of 6-second vines. Suddenly, with precision timing, a huge tank crashed through the wall of the lair. Out of nowhere, a massive SWAT team rappelled from the roof and surrounded the gang with hundreds of semi-automatic weapons. Fuck, swore Dr. Unpleasant as he raised his hands. How the hell did they know we were here? He turned to his henchmen. Someone been live tweeting again? The henchmen shook their heads. Finally, one of the henchmen mumbled, I may have posted something on Google Plus, but come on, who uses Google Plus? Dr. Unpleasant sighed. The SAS team laughed heartily. As Dr. Unpleasant was led away, Sidekick Boy snapped a shot on his phone, applied an early bird filter, added the hashtag, #EvilDefeated, and uploaded it to the cloud. I love being a secret spy, Sam. But I like being liked even better, he laughed, and skipped off into the sunset. The end.
He should be back in something called Spy Man Says.
There you go. That's my fable. That's I hope everybody learned something about not tweeting your location when you're on an undercover mission.
It's a very specific lesson.
A lot of cops listen to this show.
Dairy products, pure and wholesome. Cottage cheese and cream and milk. Our ice cream is finer, the flavor definer, with a texture as smooth as silk.
Speaking of secrecy, I would like to read an excerpt from a private performance review. Now,
yours?
Yes, it's mine. So it's my property. And it's also at a workplace that I don't work at anymore.
Okay.
Now, like many places that I used to work at that are awful, HR, human resource departments get you to write your own performance reviews, which to me is the corporate equivalent to stop hitting yourself. Mm. Stop hitting yourself. But that's what they do. And this is a genuine thing I wrote on an old performance review from a former company, where they have the gall to ask me how the company values have guided the way I work. Mm. How their company values have guided my approach to the job I do for them for money. This is what I wrote on my genuine performance review that year. I wrote, I don't consider the values as having just guided my work, but my entire life. I have memorized many of the values and chant them to myself every morning before work. The ones I don't know off by heart, I'm planning to tattoo on my arms. I would like to thank whoever came up with these values and for the opportunity to every year cite these values and explain their profound effect on my life and work. It's certainly worth the fact that I'm being asked to act as my own HR department and undertake their duties if it means I can let people know how awesome the ethos is and how my love of the values transcends the ordinary reasons one might go to work, like the need to earn money. I suppose my only suggestion might be that fear of unemployment be added to our values, as I believe this is a very real and motivating factor, although I certainly understand your reticence to add this, as it might give the impression that this is the only reason for anyone to come to work. Thanks for your valuable time.
And you don't work there any longer.
They asked me to leave.
Well, that's surprising.
I don't know why.
Because frankly, that honest assessment of their practices, well, I'm sure that would have changed a few things, shaken it all up.
Rocketed you up the ladder to CEO.
Up the ladder.
Last week, Mark sang the theme song to A Funny Thing Happened to James on the Way to the Podcast.
Yep.
Oh, no.
As Werner Herzog,
yep.
The famous German film director.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to throw an impression at him, but I would like, because I would like to do that segment now, I would like the theme song sung in a different accent impression. So have a think.
Oh, God. I think just throw something at me and it'll either be terrible or it'll be brilliant. Okay. It won't be brilliant.
I would like it. I would like it to be the guy from Are You Being Served?
John Inman.
Mr.
Humphreys.
Mr. Humphreys from Are You Being
Served?
That guy. Yeah. I want him to sing the theme song to A Funny Thing Happened to James on the Way to the Podcast. Go.
A funny thing happened to James on the way to the podcast. A funny thing happened to James on the way to the podcast.
I'm free.
Listen to the sounds of the funny thing that happened to James on the way to the podcast.
Mrs. Slocum's pussy.
Genius. Well done.
Thank you.
Excellent. Better than I could have hoped. So I played for the first time. I played a boat cruise. Strap in. I played a boat cruise and look, it was crazy. And I wanted to do it because I've been playing music live for 20 years and have never played a student university booze cruise. This is what this was. I had to play two sets. I was supporting another band, well paid. We were out on the place, and we're cruising around. The whole works, as much alcohol as you can drink for like $1.50. The whole thing. I played, people. It was a costume party. Oh my God! And I'm 1,000 years old, and I'm amongst students, and I just look like a pedophile. Like I just really was crazy. And this is how wild I am. I played the gig, and when I wasn't playing, I sat behind the merch desk doing a Sudoku. That's as wild as it got. This guy. Just as I'm about to start my second set, this guy comes up to me and he says, "Oh, mate, can I borrow your guitar and play a song?" Yeah, that guy. And I've always got a stock answer for this, which is, "Oh, I would love to, but I'm a left-handed guitar, mate. You won't be able to play it." He said, No. That's why I asked you. I'm a left-handed guitarist, so it's going to be perfect." I said, I don't know, because I don't know how good you are. I'm not the organizer. I don't know if I can do that. Health and safety. What are you planning to play? And he said, with no hint of irony, Enrique Iglesias' Hero. And I said, on guitar. He said, yeah. I said, okay, I tell you what, I'll do my set and then I'll go ask. And then if I'm allowed, then you can play after I finish my set. And he went, okay. And so he's bopping along and he got more friends in and they're all listening and having a lovely time and it's all good. And then at the end of my set, I say to him, he's pretty pissed by now. And I say to him, look, I asked the management and they said, no, you can't play Enrique Iglesias' Hero on my expensive guitar. And he went, okay, mate. No, thanks. Thanks very much. Thanks. And he's walking away and his other mate turns to him and again, with no hint of irony, says, I don't think he asked the organizer at all. He didn't leave the stage from when you asked him to when you went up and said if you could do it. How did he ask the organizer? He couldn't have. And as they were working this out in their minds, I very quietly packed up and hid behind the merch desk.
Because there's nowhere to go when you're in a boat.
The ocean.
I hid behind the merch desk.
You can't just leave the venue.
Did a Sudoku.
Like if you there were three
you
girls there.
Keel hauled.
Look, it's international waters. Anything could happen. You were the prettiest girl in primary school. You were so beautiful, so fucking cool. I sat next to you every day. You just turned away and I
had a crush, a big secret crush.
I was so shy that I could not speak of. Boys who are 7 can't express their love. So I punched you in the face, pulled your hair until you yelled, and I teased you about your weight, and for that I got expelled. 'Cause you developed an eating disorder in grade 2, all because I had a crush on you. Crush on you.
I had a crush, a big secret crush.
It was 20 years later. I saw you on the street, you were still so beautiful. God, it made me want to weep. You were a lot thinner because anorexia was still with you, but
I had the crush, I still had the crush.
I did not know just what to say to you. Suddenly I felt like we were both back in grade 2. So I punched you in the face, pulled your hair until you yelled, and the cops took me away and they put me in a cell where I might just get paroled by 2022. All because I had a crush on you. All because I had a crush on you.
I had a crush, a big secret crush.
Well, as the sun slowly visits his parents for the first time in weeks, perhaps doing his laundry, we have to bid you adieu. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. If you like it, please subscribe to it on iTunes or go to theatertheworld.com. Visit us on Twitter.
Or see a doctor.
Or see a doctor. Or whatever
or
you'd like.
Twitter it or something.
Yeah, we're on the Twitter and the Facebook. You know where we are. Jesus, I'm
go
James.
Keep it a secret.
Say something embarrassing on it.
Yeah. I'm James.
Mark.
Chris.
Don't tell everyone.
Shh.
Find episodes and more at theatreoftheworld.com.
That's weird, because I thought that there was a policy in this country of terminating all left-handed births.
What?
No.
Why would you say that?
What is wrong with you?
Well, it just seems there's a lot of left-handed people going up to stages and asking for asking to play left-handed guitars.
Like Jimi Hendrix.
Seems weird.
Kurt Cobain.
Seems weird to
Paul
me.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Seems coincidental.
Yeah. Anyone else you hate this week, Chris? Right to carry on? Jeez.
This is man bites dog. This is...